Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Babasha Daf Nun Ches. We are already holding on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph. We are four lines into Nun Ches Amud Aleph at the two dots. Rabbi Benoa Havakamatsayin Ma'arata. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, and his wife and children, Adeline Nishmas, his mother, Goldaba Simcha Allah Shalom, Nishama Shav Neliya, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. So we're going to have, most of the daf is going to be Agadata that relates to Rabbi Benoa. Rabbi Benoa came up in the conversation about Cheskas Tashmishin, and once his name came up in the conversation of Cheskas Tashmishin, so we already started discussing yesterday some of the things he said relating to the Hanhaga of a Talmud Chacham. Now we're going to talk about what happened when Rabbi Benoa started to mark off the graves of various tzaddikim, including at the Ma'aris HaMachpelah, where he had quite an adventure. The Gemara is going to tell us about the Chachma of Rabbi Benoa, how he was able to figure out certain things that were riddles, that were missing a piece, and he managed to figure out how to correct minor, you know, different sayings that people had, and the Agadata about Rabbi Benoa is going to take us all the way to the Mishnah on Amud Beis. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to continue our discussion of Cheskas Tashmishin, different things, what you have a chazaka for and what you don't have a chazaka for, to be able to continue doing certain activities in somebody else's property or taking advantage of somebody else's property. But one of the things that the Mishnah says is that a marzev is ein lo chazaka, but yesh lemekomo chazaka. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out what that means. I mean, marzev means a gutter, but what does ein lo chazaka, but yesh lemekomo chazaka, what exactly does that mean? So the Gemara is going to have three interpretations of what that means, and that brings us all the way to the end of the daf. So let's begin. Rabbi Benoa, four lines from the top of the page, Nun Ches Amud Aleph. Rabbi Benoa v'kametzayin ma'arasa. Rabbi Benoa used to make simanim on the ma'aros, on the caves that were used for kvura, so people will know where the tumah is, and they'll be careful not to bring their taros in the area, so they don't, they're not metami the taros with tumas oel. So he, in order to do that, he had to enter into the ma'aros, he had to measure the length of the ma'ara from the inside, and then he would measure it from the, he'd go to the outside where there are no markers, and he would make markers along where the length was, and he made a simen with some cement, in order that everyone should realize, okay, this is the place where the tumah starts. Now the name Rabbi Benoa, the Iun Yaakov suggests, might not have been his real name. It could be that this is why he was called Rabbi Benoa, because he was bona es hakvaros. He was involved in building kvaros. After all, the pasuk in Yecheskel, when it describes marking off graves, it says v'ra'a etzem adam ubana etzlo tziun, that when we describe making a tziun lekvaros, marking off a tziun for a kever, it describes it as a binyan, as building. So maybe that's why he's called Rabbi Benoa, because this is what he's most known for building the grave markers. So he was doing such a thing. And kimata lemarasa d'Avraham, when he got to Marasa Machpelah, to the ma'ara of Avraham Avinu, in order to measure it and to mark it off properly on the outside, Ashkeche Eliezer Ever Avraham, he found Eliezer Ever Avraham, the Koi Kame Bava, who was standing guard at the doorway, at the entrance to the Ma'ara. So Amalei, Rabbi Benoa asked Eliezer, Maika Avid Avraham, what's Avraham Avinu doing right now? So Eliezer said back that Gani Beknafa de Sarah, that he's lying between the arms of Sarah Imenu, the Kama'ainu Lebereshe, and she's looking at his head. And Amar Lei, and Rabbi Benoa said to Eliezer, Zil Emalei Benoa Ka'i Abava, please go tell Avraham Avinu that Benoa is standing by the entrance to the grave, and he would like Rishus to be able to enter into this grave. So that was the conversation that he had. The Rishonim raised the question that there is a machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that appears in Maseches Yevamos Stav Samach Aleph, whether Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim are metame ba'ohel. That Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that they're not metame, because the pasuk says Adam ki yamus ba'ohel, and of the chavim are not called Adam. That atem kriyim Adam, and of the chavim kriyim Adam. The Gemara said, based on the pasukim in Cheskel, v'atem tzon nitzon marisi Adam atem, that you are Adam, but atem kriyim Adam, but ein of the chavim kriyim Adam. And even according to the Rabbanim, the kivrei of the chavim are mitame ba'ohel, that's only a mace la'achar matan Torah. But kodem matan Torah, there were no dinei tumas mace. So the Gemara Maseches Nazir says that the idea of tumah was only for tumas maga. So why did Rabbi Bna'a have to mark off the grave of Avram Avinu and Adam Arishon? They're not matami ba'ol anyway. It's kodem matan Torah. They were not Jewish, and therefore, because it was before there was such a thing as a Jew, and therefore it should not l'chala deos, it should not have been matami ba'ol. So why is it necessary to mark off the grave? So there are several approaches that the Rishonim take. Tosos over here in Dibra Maskel Mitzayin, when he asks this question, Tosos suggests that the kever of Adam Rishon is Matami Ba'ol, because the whole vart that a person is not Matami Ba'ol, that a non-Jew is not Matami Ba'ol, is because Atem Kriyim Adam, Vein of the Chav Kriyim Adam. Well, you know who is Kriyim Adam for sure, regardless of his Jewishness? Adam. So the kever of Adam is going to be Metami Ba'ohel. And the kever of Ram Avinu is Metami Ba'ohel because he's also called an Adam. The Medrash says in Bereishis Rabba and the Pasuk in Yoshua, Ha'adam Ha'gadol, the Medrash says, Ze Avraham. So since the Tanakh refers to him as Ha'adam Ha'gadol, so it must be that Avram Avinu was also called Adam. The Ritva suggests differently in the name of Tosfos, where the Ritva quotes Tosfos that even though Kivrei of the Chavim are not Metame, but he had to mark off the grave of Avram Avinu because Avram Avinu was a Navi. He was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. How could you say Avram Avinu was a non-Jew? And Adam Arishon was a Navi. And therefore, Neviim are Mitame Ki Yisrael. People of such a high spiritual stature have to be able to be metame, because the idea of Atem Kriyim Adam, Ein of the Chavim Kriyim Adam, is presumably because of the Chavim have a less of a spiritual stature than a Jew has. The Nemuka Yosef suggests a third approach. That, like it says in Tosos, of the Chavim are not metame ba'oel, but they're metame b'maga, and he says that that's why Rabbi Noah had to be metzayin the Ma'arav Avram Avinu, so that people wouldn't be metame bimaga. Not that people wouldn't be metame ba'ohel, but he marked it off that people shouldn't come to touch it. Tosos in Nazir says that no, we only mark off things for tumas ohel. You're not going to like dig things up and start touching. So it's hard to imagine why you'd have to mark it off when it comes to Tumas Magda. There is another discussion in the Rishonim over here, whether Kivrei Tzadikim are Mitame, meaning there's one reason that he shouldn't have had to mark off the grave of Avram Avinu, the Rishonim say, is that it's Kivrei of the Chavim. Okay, so that we have three approaches in Rishonim, why he would mark it off. Another discussion the Rishonim have is that maybe Kivrei Tzadikim are not Mitame Ba'olim. If Kivrei Tzadikim are not Mitame, or not just Bo, not Metame at all, Avram Avinu certainly qualifies as a tzaddik. So Tosus writes in Maseches Bamitzia, Daf Kuf Yudal Ramal Aleph, that even though the Medrash tells us in the Yalkut Shimoni that Elio Anavi was Metame to Rabbi Akiva in order to bury him, and Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi asked, but you're a Kohen, how are you allowed to be Metame? And Elio says, don't worry, there's no Tuma B'Tzadikim. So Tosus says, of course there's Tuma B'Tzadikim. Elio is saying, Tzadikim not Metame, that was Derech Dechi. That was just a way of pushing him off, but he didn't. That wasn't his real answer. The reason he was allowed to be Metame to Rabbi Akiva was because since he was from the Haruge Malchus and they were afraid to bury him, he becomes a Meis Mitzvah. Meaning, even though a lot of people would have loved to have the Zuchus and the opportunity to bury Rabbi Akiva, but no one was willing to do it because it was dangerous because he was from the Haruge Malchus. So Leo and Avi viewed it as a Meis Mitzvah, and he was the only one that was able to do it. The Ramban writes that the reason that Tumas Meis is because of the reason for Tumas Meis is for the Cher Eitz Hadas, and Tzadikim who died b'neshika are not metame, that the tumah only comes through the malachamavas. But if you have a tzaddik that was mase b'neshika, then it's not going to be metame. In the Yivan Yaakov, he says we could bring a raya from here to those who hold that even someone who dies al yidei malachamavas, who does not die al yidei malachamavas, but al yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo, still has dinei tumah. Because back on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, he said that Avram Avinu was not controlled in any way by the malachamavas, that he died b'neshika al pi the shechina, and nevertheless Rabbi Benah apparently felt that he had to mark off the grave. So perhaps this is a raya that even someone who does not die al yidei the malachamavas is still going to be metame. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin b'metzia daf pehei raises a question: why did Rabbi Benah mark off the graves of the avos? Kivri tzaddikim like the avos should for sure not be metame, and he suggests that Rabbi Benah was not marking off the graves because of tumah. The whole premise of the discussion is wrong. He was marking off the graves of the avos because it's a makom tefillah, because we want to know where to go daven. You want to go daven maris mechpelah by kivrei tzaddikim. You want to go daven by kivrei avos. So you need to know exactly where the kivrei avos are. So that's what Rabbi Yaakov Emdin writes in his comments on b'metzia daf pehei amud beis. So anyway, so the Gemara continues with the story. So Rabbi Noah says, I'd like permission to come in. Amar lei, Avram Avinu says to Eliezer, you can go tell Rabbi Benah leil that he can come in, that it's not going to be a chutzpah, that I'm lying here in the arms of my wife Sarah, because may the yadiyah di yetzer b'hayal malecha, because everyone knows that there is no yetzer hara in olam haba, and therefore the fact that that public displays of affection are not considered tsanua and not considered appropriate in this world, that's in this world where there is yetzer hara, but in a place where there's no yetzer hara, then it's not considered inappropriate. So Rabbi Noah went in ayin, and he measured everything to see exactly where the tumah was, v'nafak, and he went out to mark off the grave. Kimat to the ma'arasa d'adam rishon, when he got to the ma'ara of Adam Rishon, which is also in Ma'ara Samech Pelah, in order to measure, in order to mark it off, Yatza Baskel the Amra, a Baskel came out and said to Rabbi Benah, Nistakalto b'demus diyukni, you've looked at my spitting image. You know, Yaakov Avinu was Dome la Adam Rishon, and he was also buried in the ma'ara of Avram Avinu. B'diyukni atzma al tistakel, but in the actual demus of Adam Rishon, that which is the demus diyukni of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that you shouldn't look at. Meaning, you saw a secondary copy in seeing the face of Yaakov Avinu. You shouldn't see the original copy of the Tzelem Elokim, which you would see in Adam Rishon. That you're not zocha to see such a thing. Now the Marsha raises the question: you mean to tell me no one ever saw Adam Rishon? What about all the... there weren't that many people on Earth, but he interacted with a few people. He had some children. He lived a long time, so there were he had a lot of descendants that he was able to see. So how were other people allowed to see Adam Rishon? So the Marsha suggests that even though you were allowed to look at him while he was alive, you're not allowed to look at him after he dies. Just like we find by Chayav Amisos Beis Din, that after they die, it says Kikilas Elukim Talui, and therefore you're not allowed to leave them hanging, because it's a zilzal in the melech, that if someone looks like the melech is executed and you leave his body hanging, everyone's going to think that it's the melech that's hanging. So for the same reason, it's, you're not allowed to look at the diukni atzma of Adam Rishon after the Misa, because after the Misa it's a zilzal. While he's alive, it's not a zilzal. The Yin Yaakov suggests that you're not allowed to look at Adam Rishon la'achar moso, because Gedolim Tzadikim Yemisasam Yosem Yubachayehem. The Gemara in the first parak of Chulin says that Tzadikim are greater in their death than they are in their life. So yes, during his lifetime, some people were allowed to look at him, but in his death, he's even greater. So that Kedusha is too great. That you're not allowed to look at. Or the Yun Yaakov suggests that no one was allowed to look at him b'chayev either. You were allowed to look at him b'chayev, but that's only because his demus diyukno changed after the sin. That prior to the sin, Enichinami, no one was allowed to look at him. But then he sinned, so the Tzelem Elokim was diminished. And then he died, and the death was a kapara. So once he had the kapara, the sin went away. Now he goes back to square one. Now he goes back to his original raw Tzelem Elokim, his unfiltered Tzelem Elokim, and that's something that no one was allowed to look at. So Rabbi Bina complained. He said, Abina L'Tziyuni Marasa, you can't make these rules. I got to mark off the grave. So the Baskal answered that you don't need to look inside the Ma'ara where Adam and Chava are buried. Just measure it from the outside. Kimidas Achitzon, Kach Midas Apnimis. And the way it appears on the outside, it's the exact same measurement on the inside. So the Gemara says, Uleman Diyamar, Shnei Batim Zulam Alamizu. According to the opinion that Maris HaMachpela was not two rooms, one inside the other, but it was two rooms, one elevated above the other, and they would bury the Avos and the Imos higher up, and Adam and Chava were buried on a lower level, but it's just deeper in the ground. So the Baskel said, "Kemidas Eliona, Kach Midas HaTachtona," that the Ma'ara HaEliona is the same measurement as the Ma'ara HaTachtona. So you already measured it. You already marked off the Eliona. So once you already marked off where the Avos are, you know exactly the location of Adam and Chava. It's interesting that there you have a possibility that the Maris HaMachpela, that they're buried one on top of the other. They started doing that in Eretz Yisrael. Some people complain about that. How's that allowed? It's been allowed for a long time. It's just not something that we've always done. You go in some of the cemeteries in Eretz Yisrael now, so a married couple will buy one plot, and they'll bury whoever dies first much deeper down. They'll fill in a lot of dirt, and then when the next one dies, they'll bury them on top. They'll bury them, so it's not so unheard of. Amar Rabbi Yonah, Nistakalti b'shnei akevav, he said, I looked at the two heels of Adam Rishon, v'domim l'shnei galgalei chama, and they're like two shining suns, these heels of Adam Rishon. There is a machlokas in Meseches Erevin between Rav and Shmuel, what the phrase Ma'aras HaMachpela means. One of them holds that it was Mara Achas with two rooms, Zelef Nemizeh, and that's why it's called Machpela, but it's called Machpela rather because it's Kfula Bezugos, because there are couples that are buried there. And the other one holds that it's a Bayis Va'aliyah Al Gabav, and that's why it's called Machpela, because there are two levels, there are two stories. So that's what we were referring to before, that according to the Man D'Yomar, that Shnei Batim Zu L'malamizu, that's referring to that Shita in Meseches Erevin about why it's even called Machpela in the first place. Now the Gemara tells us about the beauty, once we talk about how he saw the heels of Adam HaRishon, and he was like the sun, so we talk about the beauty of some of the other Avos V'Imos. Hakol b'fnei Sarah, everyone in comparison to Sarah, to the beauty of Sarah, kikof b'fnei Adam, is like a monkey would look in comparison to a human being. V'Sarah b'fnei Chava, and Sarah in comparison to Chava, kikof b'fnei Adam, was like a monkey in comparison to a human being. The Chava b'fnei Adam, and Chava in comparison to the Yofi of Adam, is kikof b'fnei Adam. The Adam b'fnei Shechina, kikof b'fnei Adam. So even though this is remarkable beauty, Sarah's beauty is remarkable beauty that's testified to, it's attested to in the Torah itself, that Ati Adati, what a beautiful person you are, wherever she would go, everyone would want, you know, they would try to steal her. But that was only a tzelem of a tzelem of the original beauty. Ben Yoyada says that this is this year is not you know, this measure of beauty is not on the Kamos or on the Eichos, because there's no way to measure the Arashchina. The Gemara it's a Melitza, that the Arashchina that's Meskala and comes out in the form of an Adam that you see in the Mar Nevuah is based on whatever he's able to be Sovel. So Shufrei D'Rav Kahana, now we go past the Avos, the Shufrei D'Rav Kahana, the beauty of Rav Kahana is different Girsos over here. Some have the Girsa Me'ein Shufrei D'Rav, that is similar to the Shufrei D'Rav, others don't have this Girsa with Rav in the mix. But Shufrei D'Rav Me'ein Shufrei D'Rabbi Avohu is similar to the beauty of Rabbi Avohu. Shufrei D'Rabbi Avohu Me'ein Shufrei D'Yakov Avinu is similar to that of Yaakov Avinu. Shufrei D'Yakov Avinu Me'ein Shufrei D'Adam Rishon is similar to that of Adam Rishon. So once we're talking about the Ma'aros of Maros HaMachpelah, we'll talk about Ma'aros of other tzaddikim. Hahuam Gusha, there was a certain Mechashev, Davachatet Shukvi, that was digging graves in order to take the clothing off of Mesim. The Rashbam writes, the Marsha says that it was the derech of a Mechashev to dig in graves for the sake of their kishuv, like a Maisa Ov, that they're Doresh Ala Mesim, so they had to deal with Mesim in order to do their tricks. So Kimata, when he got to the grave or the cave of Rav Tovi Bar Masna, Tafse Bidikne, Rav Tovi Bar Masna grabbed this Mechashif by his beard. Asa Abaya, Abaya came, Amalei, said to Rav Tovi Bar Masna, B'matusa Minach, Shavke, I beg of you, leave the guy alone. L'shana Achriti, Hadar Asa. The following year, this Mechashif came back to the same kever of Rav Tovi Bar Masna. Now that he had escaped that year, he said, I'll try it again. So once again, Tafse Bidikne, Rav Tovi grabbed him by his beard. Asa Abaye. Abaye came to ask Rav Tovi to leave him alone. Lo Shafke, but this time he would not leave him alone. Adaisi Misafra Vagazia Ledikne, until they had to bring scissors and they had to cut off his beard, of the beard of this Mechashev, which, you know, in Tanakh certainly, and probably in times of Chazal, was a big embarrassment, that if a person had his beard cut off, then now he had the physical marker of the fact that he was trying to mess around with Mason. So at least he had to suffer that embarrassment. There was a person that, because of a chashash misa, started giving out his nechasim to his children, but he told them b'derech chachma, in a way that people wouldn't understand that he's an usher. He didn't want everyone to know that he was that he had so much money, so he would say it like this. He said, chavisa da'afra l'chad bra'i, a barrel of dirt I give to one of my children. Chavisa de'garmi l'chad bra'i, a barrel full of bones I give to another one of my children. Chavisa du'udra l'chad bra'i, a barrel of cotton or wool or something of soft stuff I give to a third child. Lo v'yadi mai karmeluhu. They didn't understand what he was talking about. A barrel of bones, what is he referring to? So asal kamed rabina, they came to rabina to solve the riddle. So amaluhu, so rabina asked them, islechu ara, do you have real estate? So amalai, in, yeah, father has a lot of real estate. Isku chevasa, do you have behemos? In, yeah, he had a lot of behemos. That's what we were expecting him to give us, but he's giving us barrels of dirt, apparently. Islu bistarki, he said, did your father have different types of begadim? So in, yeah, he had plenty of clothing. So he had textiles, sure. So ihachi hachi kamalchu. Well, that's what he meant. The barrel of dirt is the real estate. The barrel of bones is the animals, and the barrel of material is the clothing. He was saying ipiramiza, but derech ramiza, because he didn't want his great wealth to be to be known. So the Rishonim point out, the Yad Ramah says that he was done this case based on shudda d'daini, based on his own assessment, because whenever you can't be mevarer more than what it says in the shtar, and the din is not borrower, so we do it based on omer adas, based on shudda d'daini. Ritva says no, they were just mekabel whatever he was going to say, whatever the dayan says, even if it would be shalom kedin Torah. So that must have been what happened over here, because there's no din that says that this is what the guy meant. This is Rabbi Nahu's best guess in terms of what he meant. Now, it could be that it was his first guess, meaning he guessed correctly about all of these things. Here was a person who was not known to be wealthy. He was not known to be in the animal trade. He was not known to be in real estate. And Rabbi Nahu guessed one after the other. Oh, and he was in the shemata business, and he was in the animal business, right? So they realized that he was correct if he was able to figure it all out right away. Who gavra de shamala de bitu? There was a person who heard his wife, de kamra labarta, who was telling her daughter, amai lo tznias bi isura? Why aren't you careful that when you do isurim and do it in a more private way, hach itza, after all, you should know about me that asara bini isla, I have 10 sons, velesli me'avuch elachad, and only one of them is from your own father. And did you ever know that about me? So you know you got to be a little more discreet in the way that you do your averos. You should learn from the mama how to do averos properly. So kishachiv, when that person died or was about to die, samar lehu, so the father said to his sons, all of my nechassim should go to only one of my sons. Everyone thought he had 10 sons, but all the nechassim will go to one. Lo yadi leheminayu. They didn't know which one he was leaving his nechassim to. Asul kamed Rabbi Na'a. So they came to Rabbi Na'a. So Amalur Rabbi Na'a said to the brothers, Zilu chavotu kavra davuchan. Go and start hitting on the kever, banging on the kever of your father. Adukayu magluchu leheminayu shafka. Until he gets up and he tells you who he wanted to leave the nechassim to. So Rabbi Na'a was testing them, because he knew that that those that are mamzerim are azepanim. It's one of the qualities of a mamzer, is to have a certain sense of azus. So he wanted to see who's going to have the azus. Azlu kulu hu debrei hava lo azal. So all the rest of them went, but the one that was actually the son, he wasn't going to go and bang on the father's grave and start causing a ruckus there. It's disrespectful. Samaluhu, so Rabbi Na'a said, kulu nechsedai. All the nechassim belongs to this person. This is the one that's not a mamzer. This is the one that, in fact, is his son. So, Azlo Achlu Kurtze Bemalka. The 9 other children went and told, were mastered Rabbi Bina'a to the Melech for costing them their inheritance. So Amri Ika Gavra Chad B'Yudai, and the way they said to the Melech was that there is this one Jewish guy, the Kamapik Mono Me'anchi Below Sadi Below Miti, who takes money away from people in by judging Dine Torah without any form of evidence, no witnesses, no nothing. So Asiu Chavshu, the Melech sent, and they jailed Rabbi Bina'a, Azla Debitu. So the Rabbi Bina'a's wife went to the Beis HaMelech, Amrulahu, and she said, B'derech Chachma, Avdechad Havili Paskul Reshe. I had one Eved, and they cut off his head, U'pashtu L'mashke V'achlu Bisrei, and they skinned his body, and they ate his flesh, V'kamalu Be'maya, and they used this skin to draw water with as a kli, U'mashke Be'lechavraya, and they were using that his skin to give water to the Bnei Yeshiva, V'loka Yavi. And they didn't give me any payment for this eved, nor any schirus for the use of his skin, of the skin of this eved, which they then used. And she said this so that they're not going to understand exactly what she meant unless they go and consult her husband, who was the riddle solver, meaning now they're holding this guy who knows how to solve all these riddles. So Liadi Mai Kamralu, it was very frustrating to them. They had no idea what she was talking about. So Armin, and she seemed, I guess, like a sane person. She wasn't just, saying insane rantings. So Amri, they said, Nesu l'chakima diudai. Let's bring this this question to the Jewish Chacham, Vilema, and he'll tell us what to do. So Karyul Rabbina, they called Rabbina, so Amrulahu, Rabbina explained, Zarnuka Amrulahu, that her Kavana was to say that she had a certain Tayish, that was a type of animal that was stolen from her, that it was shechted, and they ate its meat, and they skinned it, and they made a flask of water out of it, and they drank from that flask. So Amri, so they said in the Beis HaMelech, Chol V'chakim Kulei Hai, since Rabbi Na'a so smart, Lesiv above of Nidon Dina. Let him sit in the Share ear, and he'll judge all of the residents of the city. Chazadav Ksiv Ba'avula, which is ironic, right? Because that's what he was jailed for doing exactly that, for judging people using his Chachma until they were exposed to his Chachma directly. Chazadav Ksiv Ba'avula, Rabbi Na'a saw a marking that was written on the gates of the city, and the kavana was that people will learn from there. Kol dayin de miskari ledin lo shmei dayin. That any dayin that they summon him to a din on tvios that they tovei him is not called a dayin. He's pasul ladun because he's clearly someone who's going to take shochad. So Amar Luhus, Rabbi Na'a said elameata. If you're going to do your justice system based on what it says over here, asa inish me alma. If a person comes from the shuk, Mazmin le'ledina, and is mazmin a dayan to a din, so pasla, meaning it's such a stupid system. If you're going to say that anyone who's ever sued is a pasla to be a dayan, whenever I have, I don't want a dayan to, I want to end a dayan's career, a frivolous lawsuit, and that's it, and then I'll totally end his career by being toveya him ledin. It's not mistaber at all. Ela kol dayan de miskari ledin umafkin mine mamona bedin, alav shmei dayan. You should change it a little bit, he was like a lawyer. lawyer reading over the policy, and he's saying, you know, that policy, there's a loophole that you may want to close up in that policy. Maybe it should be anyone who actually is summoned to a din Torah and loses the din because he's not considered a dayan because a gazlan is pasul ladin. Why is a gazlan pasul ladin? He could be the smartest guy in the world, but he's susceptible to shochad. He's susceptible to bribery. So kasvu hachi. So they made that emendation, and they added, in addition to that lashon, Baram Sabi Diu Dayamri, the elders of the Jews say, meaning they gave credit where credit was due. They quoted it in the name of Rabbi Bina'a instead of having it be their own idea. Another ma'aseh with Rabbi Bina'a when he was sitting by the gates of the city. So Chazad Chziv, Rabbi Bina'a saw that it was written on the Shara'ir, Berosh Kalmosa Ano Dam. The head of all misos is I am blood, meaning that the dam is what's goreim most of the misos. That a person dies because of what they meant to say is they used to believe that that the most healthy, you know, there are all these trends in health, right? So the most healthy thing to do is to do akazas hadam, right? So that was the understanding. So sometimes it's about diet and exercise and different. So they hakazas hadam was the best thing, and they assumed that people died when there was too much dam, when they had too much dam because they didn't bloodlet, which is hard to understand, right? Meaning it's not, you don't get more dam, you know, like you max out and then it replaces itself. But they thought that the people had too much dam. Barosh kal chayin ano chamar, and on top of all life, I am wine, meaning that wine is what causes people to live. Yayin is mechaya, anyone who drinks it. So Rabbi Noah said, Elameata, based on what you're saying, Dinafel Meigro Miss, someone who falls from a high place and dies, Udinafel Meidiklo Miss, or someone who falls out of a decal tree and dies, Dama Katle, is it because of the dam, because he didn't do Akazas Adam? It's kind of obvious that if he gets hit by a truck, that it wasn't because he didn't do Akazas Adam, it was probably the 2-ton vehicle driving 70 miles an hour that knocked him to the pavement that probably did it. So Vesu, and furthermore, saying that if it's true that yayin is mechaya, anyone who drinks it, min didarke the memos, any person who's about to die, like a ghost, says, I have a great idea, mashkele chamer v'chayi, just give him some wine and then he'll live. So obviously it doesn't work. Elahachi by the mechtav, what you should have written is barosh kalmarin an adam, that all the machlos they're caused by not doing akazas adam. That might make sense. That maybe there's a certain release that is achieved through Akazas Adam. Ramosha has a tshuva where he assumes that it can't be that Akazas Adam is not healthy. Meaning we may not understand its health benefits, but it can't be that it's something that we view as a chavala, as when you do Akazas Adam. We don't understand, but they clearly did Akazas Adam. He has this in the tshuva about giving blood, whether giving blood is violating being chovel biatzmo. He says you can't call it being chovel biatzmo because it's a hakazas adam, and taking out blood in a clinical way is not called chavala. That's called hakaza. So I don't know why it's healthy, but you can't say it's chavala. You can't go from one extreme to the other. So he says, okay, so you should say that dam is what causes many illnesses. Barosh kal asvan al achamar. And wine is something that has therapeutic power. So kasvi hachi, so they wrote, Baram sabit yudayamri, barosh kalmar an adam, barosh kal asvan al achamar. So they changed the lashon and gave credit to Rabbi Bina'a for the amended lashon. Ba'asad de las chamar taman. And a place where there is no wine, that's where you need a lot of medicine for refuah, because that's where there are going to be so many more machalos when there's no wine available to people. So people are going to become so much more sick, and therefore they're going to need more medicine for other machalos. The Gemara brings something else that was written in the Shari'ir. Ksiva pischa de Kaputkia. It was written at the gate of the city of Kaputkia. Anpak anbag antal. That three names, these three names are all one midah, meaning they wrote that people should learn about Mecha Chumemkar, that if a person wants to sell something and he says, I'll sell you an anpak, or I'll sell you an anbag, they meant the same thing, and it was an antel, meaning these are all different three ways of saying the same measure of an item. So vezu antel, and how much is an antel? Zer revias shel Torah. It's what the Torah refers to when we refer to a revias. So it's a revias halog, which is Beitzo Mechza. The fact that we call it Revius Shel Torah is because the Dalit Kosos of the Lela Seder have a Shir Revius, and the Chum find a Smach Minat Torah for the Dalit Kosos, meaning it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you need a Revius of anything, right? Meaning the Shir, Shirim are Alach L'Moshe M'Sinai. So it's not anywhere in the Torah. So why would we refer to it as a Revius Shel Torah? So that's why we refer to it as a Revius Shel Torah, because the Dalit Kosos are based on the Dalit Shonos of Gula, Revius Shel Yayin for Nazir is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai as well. So you have things that are associated with Dinim Daraisa that relate to Revius. So that's why it's called Revius Shel Torah. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva that in the name of some of the Gaonim, that the reason we make a bracha of Al Nitilas Yadayim is because the Chum were Misakin the Lashon Nitila based on Antal, which holds a Revius. So he says that's and that's the shear you need for Netilas Yadayim, for washing your hands. The shear is a Revius. So it came from here that the Lashon is Netilas Yadayim. I mean, you say it should be Rechitzas Yadayim, something like that. Why Netilas Yadayim? So it probably comes from here, says the Rashba, in the name of the Gaonim. Okay, so now we finished the Agadah, so now we move back into Cheskas Tashmishim. So a Marzev was made to pour water, to drain water off of a roof, and it had two parts. It had a Maschila and a Marzev. The Maschila is the pipe that was ran along the length or the width of the roof, and all the water came in from the slanted roof into that pipe. And at the end was the marziv, which is a smaller pipe where the water would spill outward in order to be marchik it from the wall. Because if you have all the water just coming down the wall, it's going to ruin the foundations of the home. So it has to go out a little bit to spill out beyond the wall. So a marziv ein lo chazaka. If a person has that marziv, he doesn't have a chazaka, meaning if a roof belongs to one person and the chatzar next to the roof belongs to someone else, and the balagag puts a marzev in the airspace of the balachatzar, and he says, oh, I got permission from the balachatzar to leave this marzev here, and it's going to pour all his water out in his chatzar, even if he did it for 3 years, the Rashbam says, because again, Rashbam l'shitaso, that the Cheskas Tashmishin is 3 years, he does not have a chazaka, because it's not a davar kavua, the bala chatzar is not going to always make a macha'a, and the bala gag is not going to be able to prove that he has the rights to this tashmish, v'yesh l'makomu chazaka. However, he has a chazaka on the makom of the marzev, and the Gemara's going to have three explanations what that means. Ha-maschila yesh lo chazaka. The maschila, which is a davar kavua, that the Baal HaChatzar is makbid on him, and would make a macha, and therefore if the Baal HaChatzar is quiet, that is a chazaka. So he does have that. Sulam HaMitzri, a small ladder, a sulam HaMitzri, if a person puts it in his friend's chatzar, ain't lo chazaka. That since it's not kavua, the Baal HaChatzar is not going to be so makbid about it, so maybe that's why he didn't make a macha. And there is no chazaka. Vila tzori, but a sulam tzori, which is a larger sulam and has more of a kviyas makom, if you put it in someone else's chatzar, and the bala chatzar did not make a macha'a, so yesh lo chazaka, since that's a davar kavua, and that's something he ought to make a macha'a about, so therefore you do have a chazaka. Chalona mitzras, a small window. If a person makes it in order to be a window, in order to be able to look, to guard his pardes, his gina, and this window is opened into your friend's chatzar, remember, a chatzar is a place where people would do all sorts of private activities. So you have a window into his chatzar, so ein la chazaka. The bala chatzar is allowed to build a cross from that window and close off that window, and the bala chalon cannot say, what do you mean? You're ruining my sight line. I had a chazaka that I was allowed to have this sight line. Because since it's a small window, it's not something that's considered to be kavius, and therefore the bala bayis didn't think he needed to make a machal any earlier, but there's a presumed lack of acceptance on a permanent basis. But if it's a window of tzor, meaning which was apparently a much larger window, which was made in a much more kavua way, so then if the Bala Chatzar wasn't happy about it, he should have made a macha'a. If he didn't make a macha'a, it shows that he was happy about it, and therefore, yesh la chazaka, the Bala Chatzar is not allowed to build keneged that window. Ezo hi chalona mitzvis. What exactly is a chalona mitzvis? Kol she'in rosh shel adam yachol ikanis l'tocha. Chalon ha-mitzvos was a smaller chalon, so we said that it's, how small is it that a person cannot stick his head through it? It's so tiny that you can't even fit your head through it. So Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama that holds that every chalon ha-mitzvos there is no chazakah. Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, not so pashut. Just because it's a small window, it doesn't necessarily mean that that it's not kavua in any way. Rabbi Yehuda omer, im yesh lo malbein, if it has a windowsill or of wood that sort of frames a window frame made out of wood, afal pishein rosh shaladim yachol ikalis tocha, even though it's very small and a person can't stick his head there, but nevertheless harezo chazaka, that's still going to be a chazaka. Whereas the Tanakama holds that even if you make a malbein in the chalon mitzri, it doesn't have a chazaka because it could be that you just put it there not for kviyus but for noy, or to be mechazik the kosel so that the kosel doesn't get ruined by the malbein. That's what the Yad Ramah says. Meaning the Yad Ramah says, Tanakam is going to have to explain, Rabbi Yehuda seems to have a good point, that if structurally it looks like it's kavua, so why wouldn't it be kavua even if it's very tiny? So that's what the Yad Ramah gives those explanations. And the Rashba and the Ritva point out, from the Lashon and the Mishnah, it sounds like Tanakam is cholik al Rabbi Yehuda, and is not mechalik between a chalon and a malbein, and therefore a chalon of mitzri is never going to have a chazak, and a chalon tzuri will always have a chazak even if it doesn't have a malbein. But they point out that the Tosefta says that even Rabbi Meir, whose Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and therefore is probably the Tanakama, a Chalom Tsuri is not going to have a Chazaka unless it also has a Malbein. So that's what the Rishonim write, that you don't get that impression from the Mishnah, but that's pretty clear in the Tosefta, that a Malbein is necessary for a Chazaka, not just a large window. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll get into the three interpretations of what it means when we say Mar Zeven Lo Chazaka V'yesh L'Makomo Chazaka. Everyone have a wonderful day.